As I said, it's a standard condition. I was asked the question and I've done that.
And if you ever live next door to a construction site, you'll know why. Now, the panel, we were quite pleased with the design, as was the architectural review panel of council. But when we came to the standard conditions, I believe that the panel was concerned that the number of design changes were quite extensive and perhaps they should be dealt with as a deferred commencement.
Right.
Is that the feeling of the panel still? And so I think that's the major change we wanted to make, except in condition 5J, and the council quite properly was concerned to allow the commercial premises on the ground floor that might perhaps be used for food preparation or something should have exhaust ventilation considered. And of course, the design that you have is not very friendly to an exhaust duct going up through the roof of the shops. Because it'd be right in front of people's courtyards.
We actually have factored it into the plan. It may be, and I'm happy to walk you through the plan to show you, there is a riser which actually goes all the way to the roof, which we'll connect to, and it may be a situation that maybe it wasn't documented correctly. Because it was raised by the council, and we did actually put a riser through. But I do accept the fact that it probably may have been a little difficult to read. And that's why we felt the condition was okay, because we can demonstrate it, because it can go through the apartments, and maybe I'll just walk you through that.
Well, so long as you assure us it's there, you probably don't, because what we were going to do to that condition was simply say that it has to be a concealed duct.
Just so you can have some all confidence, right. If you just basically go to the ground floor plan.
Yes.
Through you, Mr. Chair, plan number.
Sorry, I'll just get the drawing plan myself.
1002.
What issue?
Issue D.
Yep, I've got that.
Okay. So if you actually have a look at where you've got the ramp next to the OSD tank, there's actually a little...
Will I just focus in on that?
Sorry, next to the OSD tank, above the C, there's a little cross.
Next to the fire. Okay.
Right, so there was going to be a connection through from the commercial along that area of OSD, and then as you go up the levels, you'll actually see there's a word riser. And as you follow that up through all the levels, it actually, which is off the corridor, it keeps going up. Then you'll see when you get onto level 3, which is 1105. If you then go to units...
I don't see it continuing on drawing 1105B.
If you go to 1105...
Yeah.
If you go to apartment number 303...
Yes.
If you walk through the door, you'll see there's an area of storage.
Yes.
And then you'll see there's the riser in that area, which is still going up.
That's a tiny little duct compared to the others.
Yes, that's correct.
So what? You can get away with a little duct like that?
The actual width of that duct is around 600 millimetres to 700 millimetres in width or diameter, and it's approximately 350, 400 metres in width. So it's a reasonable size duct, which actually is going up. Can I just ask a question in
relation to the dimensions of the void for the duct? Does that meet Australian standards in terms of, you know, getting rid of fumes and et cetera through the building?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I'm not sure. I don't know if Rudy might know.
I know.
Just wondering if any of the council staff could advise on that, whether the dimensions of the void that is proposed for the food fumes, etc., meets Australian standards?
Yeah, it does seem quite small, which is why we've got that condition in there. The ducting isn't shown also coming out at the roof level, so we need to see where that is.
Mr. Teresi, you don't bring the duct out at the roof level. It's not there. He goes all the way up and then doesn't get through to the fresh air.
So there's the roof level. Yeah, it keeps going up, so it comes up through that last residential.
I see it there.
Yeah, and then it obviously comes...
Go to drawing 108C.
Yeah. No, we haven't shown the square box sitting on top of the roof where the vent would have otherwise be coming out. Yeah.
Well, see, you tricked me there because I thought it was a duct taking plumbing and stuff down.
Right.
I didn't think it was bringing stuff up.
I guess the point is that we have actually factored it into the design. So, hence, if it's a condition in the consent, it's something which we feel we can actually facilitate. If it needs to be slightly larger, we have got scope in that area where we've got storage where the panel noted is smaller. We do have flexibility. So, comfortable.
You're not objecting to having a condition?
No, we're not objecting to those conditions. No.
That's all right. Any other questions from the panel? You happy?
To be able to approve it just based on the same standards dimensionally? Because what if there's a problem?
No, I think we're still in deferred commencement.
Yeah, it's still in. Okay. See, we've still got deferred commencement.
Yeah. And then they come back and get we'll make the instruments, but whether we've got to add that to that.
We can
possibly,
add it. We
possibly
add
it to because it. The additional dimension.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I think we've had it drafted as a deferred commencement, haven't we? Now, I think when we were discussing this after the on-site inspection and we were going through the report, we had the officers prepare a preliminary deferred commencement consent condition. Can you bring that up, please? Yes. It hasn't incorporated the deferred commencement.
Condition 5 is to become...
Condition 5 is to become Condition 1 and BA deferred commencement condition. And the remaining conditions are renumbered accordingly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Could you just scroll up a little bit so we can see that the date of the application? Oh, it's not there. Okay. But that'll be changed, won't it?
Yes.
Yeah. In the agenda, the date of lodgement of the application was incorrect. It should read the 24th of December 2018. That was lodgement. So I'm being pedantic, but it's sometimes very important depending on how the application proceeds. So we have changed that to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it can be invalid.
All right. Okay, well, I'll go to the panel's draft decision and read it out, then I'll have the panel vote. A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grants consent to development application number DA 2018-00560 to demolish part of the premises and construct a six-storey mixed-use building comprising two commercial tenancies on the ground floor and residential units above with associated basement parking at number 437 to 439 Illawarra Road, Marrickville, subject to the conditions attached to this decision. As amended as follows. Condition 5J is... Just a minute. Okay, yes, that's part of it. Condition 5J is to be amended to delete the word, quote, by, end quote, in the second sentence and add the following, quote, such ventilation is to be not visible from the public domain, and I'll add, and comply with the applicable Australian standard.
Just on that, Mr. Chair, can I just correct it, that it's not second sentence, it's second line?
Ah, thank you.
That the word by is in the second line.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I also just say Australian standards, plural, just in case there's more than one in relation to that?
Okay, that's good. And then further to that, condition 5, items A to L. Is to become condition 1 and be a deferred commencement condition. With the applicable standard provisions and the remaining conditions to be renumbered accordingly. Yes.
So in terms of the other conditions, are you making them all as part of deferred commencement?
Yes. Yes. Because there's lots of little amendments to the plans. They should all be dealt with at once.
Okay.
Thank you. And then condition 67, to be amended to read, quote, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday to Sunday, with the exception of New Year's Eve, when the terrace is permitted to be used until 2 a.m. New Year's Day, end quote.
Could I just ask a question of staff again? Sorry, I'm keeping you busy this afternoon. I just want to make sure before we nominate 2 a.m. on New Year's Day that we are being consistent with perhaps other roof terrace approvals that you've given and specified hours of operation. If there aren't any, that's fine, but I didn't want to be inconsistent with other...
Thank you. As a rule, we don't generally condition the use of roof terraces. This is probably a little bit unusual in that it is a larger communal roof terrace, but the hours would be consistent with the sort of hours we would allow, for example, for licensed restaurants in that vicinity. So we think in terms of noise impact, it would fall within those expected parameters for New Year's Eve.
And obviously through you, Mr. Chair, they'd still have to comply with general noise requirements anyway, should it become... too noisy, for want of a better term, on New Year's Eve.
Thank you, panel. Can you vote on this decision?
Aye. I agree.
Thank you. And that's unanimous as well. Thank you. We can now proceed to item 5 on the agenda, which is development application number DA 2019-00016 at 11 to 13 Hunter Street, Lewisham, and it's to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and first floor additions to a boarding house. Now, I have here three people listed to speak: Francis Hicks, Penelope Smith, and Brad Delapierre. Now, Mr. Delapierre, are you representing the applicant? Well, we'll have you speak last, so that you can perhaps answer concerns of the objectors. And so is Francis Hicks and Penelope Smith here?
I'm neither of those people.
You need to put the microphone on.
Go press the button. Till the button goes red.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah.
My name's Simon Hill. I've actually been asked to speak on behalf of the Hickses.
Right.
There should be a one-page submission with their names and my name on it, which was provided to Council on Sunday or Monday.
And Mr. Gill, are you a solicitor or are you another resident?
I'm a solicitor. Yeah. I am a resident of Ashfield, but I'm a solicitor. And okay. They've asked me to summarise their concerns.
All right. The panel happy to hear from Mr. Gill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Assuming we're not speaking in the legal capacity, we're speaking as a representative, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Gill.
Thank you, panel. The panel should have a copy of a one-page submission which was provided.
Yes.
Does the panel have that copy? It might be helpful to have it in front of you. Matter for you. I'll aim to go through these five matters as quick as possible.
Oh, could one of the officers bring that up to us, please?
I have four copies here, if that will assist.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Just hold
with
us a second.
Just hold on a second. We got so many, Mr. Gill, I must have overlooked yours. Okay.
Just there confirming it's five dot points, headed redevelopment application DA with the actual number.
That's correct. Thank
looks
you.
Looks like that.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, looks like that. Yep.
Yep. Got it. Yeah, I'm looking for it. Oh, thank you. There it is. Thank you. Here, you can have that one back. Okay, Mr. Gill.
Gill.
Is it? Okay.
Thank you, panel. So you'll see there's 5 points. I obviously won't fit 5 points comprehensively into 3 minutes, but perhaps if I speak to a few of these, depending on how that goes, you might give me a little bit more time. One in particular is to do with clause 29, subclause 4 of the SEP. We anticipate that there's going to be some dispute about the FSR control, and in particular, even if council's position on the FSR control is accepted, which we'd support, it's possible that the applicant may say that clause 29, subclause 4 allows the panel to grant consent even if the clause 4.6 isn't accepted. Just on that, there's a number of cases, including the one that I've mentioned, that talk about this and actually talk about how you do an assessment under clause 29, subclause 4. In particular, those assessments focus on the objectives of the control, they focus on the objectives of the zone, and they focus on site-specific things, like in this case being a heritage conservation area, the characteristics of the site and how it contributes to the heritage values. You'll see that in the council's assessment, pages 371 and 372, these exact issues, which are used in the 4.6 to reject it, could also be used, according to the court's normal practice, to look at it under clause 29.4. So if that issue comes up, that's how it's dealt with. With respect to the character test in clause 30A, as the applicant agrees, the project venture planning principle is relevant. What project venture boils down to is what is there and what will be there. Now, council's got a number of points, but just a few to add that are important. The applicant pointed to the presence of the residential flat building. Council didn't appear to expressly deal with that, so just to be clear, that's on another bit of land, which is on another street, which is in a different zoning, which permits residential flat buildings, even if there isn't a warehouse there, unlike the site, which expressly prohibits them in those circumstances. Furthermore, the site is in a heritage conservation area, unlike that residential flat building. And so as part of that small group, C26 I think it is, which has just 12 bits of land in it, it's obviously a different group with different rules that apply to it. That's about what's there. As for what will be there, a further and quite important point is the fact that any residential flat building, boarding house built on the adjoining bits of land, as council explained, wouldn't be able to develop the site to their full potential. But what's more, they can't even be more than 12 units themselves. Because, as we all know, if I might be permitted just a few minutes extra.
Yep.
Thank you, panel. As we all know, the SEPs come in and change the rules there and says that you can only have up to 12 units. So not only is there practical constraints, which council's adequately dealt with, as to how you can't develop other sites to this level of potential, but on top of that, it's just planning impossible under land in the under the LEP and under the SEP. Now, I won't deal with three in any detail because I'm already prevailing on the panel's hospitality, but it's more or less as is written is the point. The plan of management. The plan of management is set out as an attachment D to the report. The panel might find it helpful to go to it. It's page 464 of your notes. Now, a fundamental issue is assessing the panel against the court's planning principle in Rinaldo, which I'm sure the panel's more familiar with than I. As for the way that works, it is about clarity, enforceability, and practicality. What do we find here? Well, we find that the applicant has, in response to issues raised by the panel previously about the acceptability of the plan of management, sought to do a lot more to make it better. And it is a lot better, for sure. But all the really important bits are in what's called the draft house rules, which are an extra to the plan of management. These draft house rules fail to be consistent, enforceable, or practical, but also the legal status of that document's unclear, because the conditions talk about the plan of management, but clearly this draft is meant to be able to be amended without council's consent, unlike the plan of management. Mm. But on top of that, inconsistency, in short, well, there's things like parties permitted, obviously until 10 or midnight, but occupants not to congregate in large groups. In terms of enforceability, it says in the House rules, any breach is grounds for termination, but it also says, well, you'll get warnings and then persistent breaches might result in termination on the very same page. As for practicality, well, if you live in room 6, which is a room without a window, as far as I can read on the plans, and you can only smoke outside, and the common room is also the kitchen and everything else, which is perfectly acceptable for a boarding house, where are you going to hang out with your friends? Are you going to hang out at the back of the property? Probably. Are you going to hang out right next to the building, where there's two large windows that look right at you from rooms 5 and 6, which are the bedrooms? Or are you going to congregate somewhere on the raised area near my client's property, where there's some tables and chairs and some kind of landscaping that's kind of going to be determined as a deferred condition of consent? And when you have a number of people there, when you have parties at various times, it's really unclear how that's going to be managed.
Mm. Can you wind up, Mr. Hill?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I will finish with a brief comment on privacy, which is just to say this. In that raised area, which, as I pointed out, is going to be used a fair bit, the applicant is currently relying on hedge screening to be planted to address all those issues. Well, the court's planning principle talks about using vegetation and for lots of reasons doesn't support relying on it. And the kind of privacy impacts that will come from the overlooking of the top story and from the back property means that you need more than just maybe a hedge that will do the job. Last thing I'll say is that there is an existing tree on my client's property, which the panel will have seen, and that tree will conflict with a 5-metre-tall hedge if that's in fact proposed. So that kind of position should be rejected. Thank you very much for your indulgence with additional time.
Any questions from the panel?
No.
No. I'll just observe that you're right, room 6 has no window. And we also observed other apparent inconsistencies in the plan in that some places they say the roof on the extension's at 22.5 degrees and other places it says 18 degrees.
Mm.
So there's various, let's say, just quality issues with the drawings that apart from other things, but I don't think I need any more comments from you. It wasn't a question.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. Hill. Now, you've spoken for Francis Hicks.
Frank Hicks.
They're not speaking?
So Frank and Joanne, who are at the owners of 8 West Street.
Well, they've written it here as Francis, but it's Frank. Okay.
Oh, okay, there's both. Francis is your daughter? Okay.
Never mind.
Oh.
Have we got Penelope Smith? Please, is she speaking? Thank you.
I'll just start by, thank you again for hearing me on this matter and for the site visit this morning.
Just bring the microphone closer.
Sorry, yes, I should do this enough to know that.
Again,
thank you, and we endorse everything that our neighbour's solicitor had to say, so thank you for that. I've spoken to the panel before, so I'll be very brief, and you've also got our submission. I will just bring your attention to, in addition to the things that we originally raised and we still think are issues, which are the excessive floor space ratio, the fact that the design is still bulky and it's an excessive use of the block, noise and overlooking of privacy, again, hedging's a pretty poor solution to that. The heritage impacts have been partially addressed, but there's still a lack of detail. Parking's an ongoing issue. There are issues around the whether this actually constitutes, good quality affordable housing that the Act is actually intending to encourage is another question. But the new ones are kind of things that we've thought of in the last couple of months. And one of those is there's not a lot of detail on how construction waste will be removed from the site, how it works, how the site will even be accessed for works, given the narrowness of the site. Some of it is that there's a proposal to place some of the fill under the existing structure, we're not actually sure that the calculations on that even stack up, or is that feasible? We note that there are hazardous materials like asbestos, and the removal of those hasn't been dealt with. Again, as you've mentioned, the plans lack detail. We're still not entirely convinced that the shadow diagrams are correct, although we haven't commissioned our own. And we're just concerned with the poor quality construction materials given the kind of implausibly cheap estimate for the construction cost. But another thing we'd like to raise is that there's not stormwater management detailed on the plan. So you would have seen this morning our block sits downhill slightly from that property, and we do get runoff, and so we would just like to know how that would be addressed. So they're our key points for today. So all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel?
No, Mr. Chair, other than to say, yes, we note the value of the works is listed as $350,000 for what's proposed.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Now, I have a Brad Delapierre listed to Mr. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and panel members. As you outlined, my name is Brad Delapierre, and I'm a consultant town planner for the applicant. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon again. At the 13th of August local planning panel, you granted our request to defer determination of this application to allow us to address the concerns of Council's planning team as outlined in that business paper. You also advised us that we needed to conduct at least some facade surgery on the scheme before it returned to the panel. We believe that we have responded to the 8 grounds of deferral, and we have provided a detailed 14-page letter outlining how the project has been modified to Council on 11th of October 2019. Broadly speaking, the changes we have made to the development in conjunction with a heritage architect and peer review architect include modifying the front facade of the development to reinstate the historic front facade of the building, including the reinstatement of open balconies that you would have seen at your site inspection today, providing a distinct link between the old and new portions of the building, providing a pitched roof to the new extension, and providing a revised facade composition that is more logical and improve the architectural presentation of the building when viewed from adjoining properties. But I do note that we agree with the objector in your review that we haven't quite fixed up room 6, so our apologies. We note that Council staff are accepting that the revised application addresses some of these grounds of refusals, and that others could be addressed via the without prejudice conditions on page 445 of the business paper. In respect of the remaining grounds of concern that Council staff indicate warrant refusal of the modified application, I provide the following brief comments. FSR, the report raises concern that development FSR of development is 0.72 to 1, that is greater than that permitted by the mapped FSR on the site of 0.6 to 1. We remain of the opinion that an FSR of up to 1 to 1 is permitted, given that the RFBs are permitted land use in the zone. Council appears not to have sought its own legal advice on this report, this point, and relies upon its previous views expressed by a town planner. It is considered that the opinion of the planning barrister that we submitted previously, being Dr. Stephen Beverley, is preferred given the legalistic nature of this legislation interpretation. I also note that having regards to clause 30A of the SEP, which the panel has to have regards to, that the proposed FSR of 0.7 to 1 is not inconsistent with the mapped FSR of 0.6 to 1, given the bulk and scale of buildings and the visual catchment of the site, and noting that if it was a large dwelling house, at-grade garages would be excluded from the FSR. I also note that the revised development has removed 32 square metres of floor space from the development, and in the interest of abundance caution, we have submitted a further clause 4.6 departure to Council. Parking was raised in the report and also by the objectors today. The previous assessment report to the panel states in part, it is acknowledged that there is no practical means to accommodate parking on the site without compromising the structural setting of the existing heritage listed building and the landscape setting of the front setback, and Council would not encourage on-site parking in this location, probably having regards to the fact that the Lewisham Railway Station is some 220 metres from the site. It is also noted that another boarding house... I'm happy to stop, or if the panel gives me some leeway, I've probably got another 30
please,
seconds to me.
Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. It is also noted that another boarding house for around 50 people is located in close proximity at 40 Hunter Street with virtually no parking. The report talks about clause 30 capital A of the affordable rental housing set, which is an important consideration. The existing character of the locality is a mixture of older style residential flat buildings of 3 to 4 storey, single and double storey dwellings of a mix of ages and architectural styles, and a traditional village retail commercial strip, a school, Lewisham Railway Station, and more recently constructed residential flats and townhouse developments. The setback of these different buildings' typologies are varied, with the townhouse development at 2A West Street having a small rear setback. Given the above character, this two-storey boarding house with an extension to the rear that will not be highly visible is consistent with this character. In summary, we believe we have listened and revised the development to appropriately address the suggested grounds refusal. We believe that this development that will reinstate the heritage facade of a contributory building in a heritage conservation area is in the public interest, and that the revised design has additional architectural merit. We urge the panel to approve the development as outlined in Attachment C of this afternoon's business paper. Thank you for listening, and I'd be happy to answer any questions panel members may have. And I do have the project's architect at the back who could also assist with some design questions if required.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. De La Pierre. Any questions from the panel? No? Okay. Thank you, Mr. De La Pierre.
Yep. Sorry, Mr. Chair, I should just say I actually was on the previous panel, and I note that a number of points that you raised say that you have addressed it. I don't necessarily concur with that opinion, and I don't think the council report necessarily concurs with it. I note that there are certainly some aspects that have been changed, but there were a number of considerations from that previous panel and that August decision that the panel made, and I think they've been fairly well articulated throughout the report. So I'm just letting you know that's where I stand in terms of your comments. I note that you did certainly address some of them, though.
No, thank you for acknowledging that.
Mm-hmm. Does the panel want to adjourn to discuss this further?
No.
You don't want to adjourn?
No.
All right. Well, the panel that went on site again today and looked at the amended plans and the amended proposed proposals to this application, and we were concerned that there were just basic things that hadn't been addressed, which we couldn't see a way to overcome by conditions, one of which is the provision of 17 boarding rooms plus one manager's rooms is contrary to the draft state environmental planning policy, affordable rental housing, 2009, which limits the boarding rooms in the R2 low density residential zone to 12 boarding rooms. It's just a basic. And then you add to that the previous problems of no on-site parking, and okay, perhaps that can be overcome because there was push bike and motorbike parking. But again, it's a non-compliance with actual provisions in the applicable legislation.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just on that point, I might address. I don't think that SEP anymore is actually a draft. I think that is actually the SEP. Is that correct? That's made. Sorry, that SEP is made. Sorry, Mr. Chair, I just want to confirm that now. I know it notes in draft in our reports,
right,
but that SEP's been made just for a notation.
Okay.
Noted. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've detailed in the draft decision the reasons why we think this particular application is still unacceptable. Even though it's an addition to an existing boarding house, we acknowledge that. But it needs more work before it would be an acceptable application. Therefore, I'll go to the decision and then ask the panel to vote on it. A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, refused development application number DA 2019-00016 to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and first floor alterations and additions to a boarding house for the following reasons. And then we have 10 reasons there, which I don't think I need to read out. They're attached to the agenda on this item number 5. Except I note, as Kath Roach has just identified in reason 4, the state of environmental planning policy, affordable rental housing, is now not a draft, it's adopted. I'll ask the panel to vote.
I guess there were a couple of amendments that we had talked about.
Yes.
One was in relation to, and I'll work from the back.
Yes.
From the end back. Point 10, insufficient information. Subsection C needs to read lack of a plan of management. Mm-hmm. That was one reason.
Sorry, lack of a complete plan of management. Yep. There is one attached, okay. Attachment D, so yep. A fully detailed plan of management.
Yeah. Some of the things that this plan of management doesn't address in detail is control of smoking on the premises, and also measures to address privacy impacts for adjacent neighbours. So I guess we are sort of being helpful and giving you advice in terms of the kind of things we think should be incorporated in any revised plan of management. The issue of tree protection, there's a large pepper tree to the east of the site that warrants, it overhangs the site significantly. It also warrants some protective measures or some way of dealing with it. The other thing I think is lacking in stormwater management detail, but I'll defer to my colleagues to see if there's anything I've left out.
And the only other aspect that was picked up through, as far as I recall, was around the removal of the soil from the rear of the site going under the front of the premises. So that's certainly something at construction stage that would need to be considered, because it was looked at as to whether that would be too much to actually go where you're actually saying it would actually end. So that's just another point to note.
Okay. And one last thing for the technical team. Just the minutes need to be amended. Again, the development application was not lodged. Oh, yes, correction. That's fine. The lodgement date is correct. Thanks. Pardon. Mm-hmm.
So I have here additions to item 10 of refusal. You've got 10C, lack of a fully detailed plan of management. Mm-hmm. Especially regarding control of smoking and privacy impacts on adjacent neighbours.
Protection of the pepper tree to the east.
Yes, I've got that. I was going to do D. D, protection of a large pepper tree on the side, uphill of the property.
Yeah, adjacent to the site.
Mm.
And, Mr. Chair, we should add on to that, and the interplay of that pepper tree with the suggested 5-metre hedge, whereby the lower limbs would be affected by, the lower limbs of the tree would be affected by the 5-metre hedge, so that interrelationship going forward would need to be addressed.
Right, OK. Now, that's added in now. And then we had
stormwater.
E. Yes, I've got it. Overland stormwater flows to be controlled and drained from the site. Did I have to repeat that? E? You ready? Overland stormwater flows to be controlled and drained from the site. Okay, with those additions, can I ask the panel to vote?
Aye.
In favour.
Agree.
Thank you. That's a unanimous vote in regard to item 5. And we'll now go to item 6 on the agenda. now. Yes, I think maybe we could take a short break. Yes. It's been suggested the panel take a short break until before we go into volume two of the agenda. We're up to item six, and of course we've got a total of nine items on the agenda. We'll be back in 5 or 10 minutes.
Thank you.
7.
We're
Item 6, aren't we? Are we? Oh, we are 6. Yes, you're right.
We were
step ahead.
Yeah.
This is the one with all the submissions.
Ahead.
It's okay. It's a team thing.
Yeah. Ah. Thank you for your indulgence during that break. The we'll resume this hearing of the Inner West Local Planning Panel, and we're up to item 6, which is application.